Foundations Lesson Number 19, Stewardship, Tithing, and Giving, Part 3. Going on to page 2 of our outline, let's look at the subject of giving. Once we've taken the sacred portion, the tithe, and brought it into the storehouse, the local church, once we've acknowledged that God owns everything, we are free to give offerings, alms, and other gifts from the remaining 90% as God would lead us by His Holy Spirit. We have to understand that God is a giver. Let me say that again. God is a giver. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave. He's a giver. And we see in Scripture not only that He gave, but that He gave that which is precious. He is a lavish giver who has given at great cost to Himself. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19 says this, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Silver or gold would not have cost God very much of anything. He could just create more of it anytime He wanted to. But He gave that which was dear to Him. It caused Him great pain to see His one and only Son dying in incredible suffering and agony for the sins of the world. God gives good gifts. King David had the heart of God when he said to Araunah the Jebusite, "I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." You can read that. It's from 2 Samuel 24:24. Giving is part of God's nature. When we give, we participate in God's nature. And God has created us in His likeness, which means He has designed us to be givers. We function best as human beings when we are givers because we are being like our Creator. Do you enjoy giving? God does. One of the things that I personally encourage people to do when it comes to an offering is to give to the cause of worldwide evangelization. Late in the 1990s, I read that about 95% of all the gospel resources in the world are in the English language, yet only about 5% of the world speaks English as their primary language. I don't know how accurate that is today, but last I knew, still more than 1,000 languages of the world do not even have John 3:16 translated into their own language. There is much, much work that needs to be done in reaching people with the gospel worldwide. I can't think of a more important place for an offering to go. By the way, if you are interested in being challenged in giving to missions, I would recommend a book by Dan Betzer entitled Why Some Churches Are Blessed. Another principle that is taught in Scripture is that our attitude in giving is important to God. Have you ever heard the saying, "God loveth a cheerful giver, but receiveth also from a grouch"? Well, it's not biblical. The Bible does say that God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." The issue is that if we believe that handling our resources God's way is best, not only for us, but also for everyone involved, then we can have tremendous joy in giving. We need to seek God and ask Him to direct us in what we should do with the resources that He owns, but that He has entrusted to our care. It is impossible to improve upon the will of God. Those truths should help us to have a great attitude in giving. God is concerned not only with what we do, but with how we do it. He is concerned with our actions, but He's also concerned with our attitudes. 2 Corinthians 8, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he says this, "Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have." We can see from that scripture a willing heart is important to God. Also, pure motives are important to God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 2 through 4, Jesus is speaking and he says this, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Jesus here has a name for those who gave but did it in order to be honored by men. He calls them hypocrites. So we need to be careful to give with pure motives. Lastly, giving has the power to change our hearts. Again, Matthew chapter 6, this time in verse 21, Jesus is speaking and he says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We were told in Bible school that if you don't have a burden for missions, there's an easy remedy. Give regularly to a missionary. Why? Because where your treasure is, your money, your resources, there your heart will be also, your burden, your interest, your priority. Most people who have no interest in the stock market also have no investment in the stock market. But when someone starts to invest in the stock market, all of a sudden they become much more interested in how their stock is doing. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the giving of our treasure, our money, has the potential to change our hearts for the better as well. So let's remember that God owns everything, including all that we call our own. Let's be faithful to give Him the sacred portion, the first 10% of our income. And let's give offerings and other gifts as we're able and as the Lord would direct us to do so. And as we do all this, let's do it willingly and cheerfully. Amen. God bless you all.